John.
There is a worse.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is the first show for the month of May 2021.
Indubitably.
So it's the Pokemon Show.
Yep.
And the new hotness right now is Pokemon Snap. And Wes, you have Pokemon Snap.
I do have Pokemon Snap.
New Pokemon Snap, excuse
yes.
me.
Yes.
And you've been playing it.
Yes.
Take us away.
Well, first, Ryan, I want to talk about Go for a little bit.
I like
get that out of the way.
No, I like your style. Like,
just immediately pass it off on somebody else.
Yeah. Here's a cool thing to talk about, but first.
You want, yeah. want me to talk about? Yeah, right.
No, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
Well, we have it such that once we brought it up, we have to move on. So that's, I guess, just give us a thumbs up, thumbs down, and we'll move on from Snap.
Hey, you know what? Now you kick it over to me for something.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about your Sun Living Dex. This sounds fascinating.
Well, So a few months ago, I just started doing a run-through of
But Sun. First, there's the Pokemon card craze that's going on. No, go on, John.
And so I've just kind of been tinkering with it, doing like an island a month. I'm not trying to overdo it with the amount of Pokemon I've been playing. And yesterday and today, I've been totally overdoing it with the amount of Pokemon I've been playing on the DS. And I've been building the Pokedex in Sun with the intention of sending some stuff over from Moon to fill in the gaps, but mostly building it out through Sun. And then yesterday, I just decided, fuck it, I'm just going to send everything I have over from Moon. I just started breeding things to fill in the gaps that I had. And I took the Pokedex from about maybe 60% up to 98%.
Oh, shit.
What are you missing?
I need to evolve a Vanillite into a Vanillish. And I already have the other two in the living decks. I need to evolve a Politoed and a Slowking. But I need to get some King's Rocks first. The biggest thing is going to be Porygon 2, Porygon Z. Because
that is very annoying.
I could bring stuff in from Pokemon Bank to fill the decks. I'd just be sending it back anyway, so I don't know how far I'm going to take that. And I still need to do a lot of the post-game stuff with the Ultra Beasts.
Right.
Because there are a couple that are exclusive to Sun, but all of the Legendaries and the Ultra Beasts from Moon I just sent over. So I've been kind of... To evolve things like Dratini and Goomy. I was just walking around with a Necrozma, grinding against some wild Pokemon to level them up. You know something I completely forgot about in that game is when you get to the battle tree, after you go through the whole Pokemon League segment of it, you get to choose if you want to fight red or blue from the original. I had completely forgotten about it. I got to that area, progressed to it, and then they showed up. I was like, oh shit, that's right, I have to fight one of them. I am unprepared. But it already, as soon as you enter that area, it initiates the sequence. So I lost. Because I had a Pokemon that was above level 60, and everything else was gonna just warming the bench to level up. But yeah, there are a number of things that I'd completely forgotten about in that game. For example, there are certain Pokemon that you can only catch through an SOS. Nothing.
Remember that mechanic, the SOS thing?
Yeah,
that's kind of tough.
There was,
you only get one random Pokemon in the region or in that area, right? So you really don't have any way of controlling what it's going to be, and it comes from a whole roster of Pokemon it could be, right?
And from what I've noticed, it typically is something that is within the same species group as the wild Pokemon you encounter. The example I was going to go with was Jigglypuff. So there are wild Igglybuff, but the only way to encounter a Jigglypuff is to fight one and have it called in through an SOS battle. Which I did today, took a couple of tries, and they're a rare drop anyway. They're one of the rare ones on that route, so it was annoying. But, there are, little exploits you can do, getting a Salamence at level 5 in the first island.
That's very cool. I believe that's also a shiny hunting method as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm.
If you can set it up such that you always have one that's permanently in one state and it keeps spawning the others, it has increased shiny rates as they spawn.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
On the island that you work your way up to fight the fire trial, the guy who's got those Marowaks, I was trying to get a maybe to fill out that evolutionary line. And I kept on having, and this was a couple of months ago when I was first going through, so I didn't have anything like that was specifically specialized in catching Pokemon, you know, with your Thunder Wave and your Fall Swipe. I was just kind of going through with my team. And
you didn't have a level 100 Mew?
I did not have a level 100 Mew, no.
That's tough.
I mean, if you choose to live your life like that, sure.
Mm. If you can even call it living.
Yeah.
So I encountered a Magby, and this thing kept on calling in other Magbys, and would never fail to call in help. So it was just in this perpetual lock state of taking out a Magby or taking down to low health, and then having an extra one call in, having to get that one down to low health, and the battle. No joke. After a few rounds, I just started like checking the clock and. No less than 15 minutes
wow.
spent in this one battle
that sucks.
To catch this one motherfucking Magby.
Is it? I wonder if that's a thing about the baby forms that
hmm.
they just inherently call in for backup all the time.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. It'd be interesting to see which... Because not every Pokemon will call in for help.
Yeah.
It will be, you know, like you were saying, just certain species that will try to call in. It'd be interesting to see which ones can and can't
which one
call for help.
Is it? I know that there's one that only can appear when some. Is it? It's not Wimpod. I'm trying to think of what it is. I know there's one of the rarer Pokemon in the game is because you can only get it when it calls for backup.
I don't know. That's escaping right now. I'm not sure which one that would be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's still just a handful of things I'd love to catch. I gotta get an Electabuzz. I have to trade over a Drampa from my Moon version. My Moon version has been entirely pillaged at this point. I have like maybe a dozen Pokemon left over there and nothing above level 30 or 40. So I have one last group to bring over, including my level, it's like 94, 95 Como O that I had through the original run through. I'm kind of leaving that for last just in case I have to catch anything else in that version before.
Oh, quick interjection. It is Marini. Yeah. So apparently Marini, the only place you can get it is an SOS Battos and Melmetal, or sorry, Melimel.
Yes.
It
yes,
is available. Yes, yes.
Which
throughout.
One's Marini?
Toxapex.
Oh, that thing.
Poison. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And that one actually, I don't know, maybe it's common, maybe I got lucky, but it didn't take too long to get that one.
Yeah.
Because.
I think, yeah, it's Corsola. You have to fish for a Corsola,
mm-hmm.
keep the Corsola in play, and then the SOS will bring in the Marini.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're playing Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, it just naturally appears on Route 9.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. They probably realized, we made this thing a boss motherfucker, we might as well make it accessible.
It's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my run-through of Pokemon Sun.
Right.
Wes, do you want to do Pokemon Snap now, or do you want to do Pokemon Go?
I was just trying to get rid of the smaller things, but
okay.
The big topic.
Okay, yeah, that sounds all good.
Right.
Sherlock, you got anything? He doesn't have anything.
Okay. All right, so I'll bring up my notes. It's about 10 pages long. We can talk about Pokemon Go. No, I'm just kidding.
Let's do it.
A whore.
Let's
yeah.
do it.
No, I mean, just that Pokemon Go is still going. It's a thing. Like, if you've been following it, literally just this a few days ago on the 3rd, Xerneas finally became available.
It's going to be 5 years old this summer, isn't it?
Sure is.
Pokemon
yeah.
Go.
Yeah. Pokemon
yeah, my coworker
Go.
Showed me a Xerneas today.
Yeah, I got three of them so far.
That sounded dirtier than I intended.
And you're like, that's cool. I've had a real one for like 5 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's interesting about it, though, is that on top of that, it's sort of like the fairy type already exists in the game, but they're sort of rolling it out in large just so everyone can kind of like have a hold of it and be like, okay, this is what's going on. We're really digging into the sixth gen. You know, you got your Xerneas out there, and they're also making all the other fairy types come around a lot more often. And on top of that, they're also making dragons appear more often because they want you to beat up the dragons with the fairies, I guess, is the idea.
I guess that makes sense because, like, Gen 6, that's where you get the fairy type introduced.
Yep. So, like, if anyone hadn't caught up on catching their Bagons and their Salamences, now's the time to do it. Tons of Dratinis everywhere. Goomy's now available. The fairies types that they've brought in so far, they already had, for whatever reason, Galarian Ponyta is already in the mix, so that's really cool.
That's cool.
Swirlix and Spritzy?
Yep.
Yep. They're both now available. They're readily available over the place now, so you can grab those guys.
Sylveon should be available now?
No, Sylveon's not available yet.
Sadly. Really?
I'd love it to be, but it's not.
I was told if it was... I couldn't remember, but coworker either said it was going to be available soon, or it was. So I guess soon.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about it yet. I think that would have been bigger news, because I would I'd love to have a Sylveon. That's, again, I think it's become pretty much my favorite of all of the Eevee evolutions.
Poor Melodic. Oh, of the Eevee evolutions. I was about to say poor Melodic.
Yeah. Yeah, Melodic's pretty cool, too. Yeah, it's pretty cool right now. They're doing a big event. They've been doing tons of big events, so literally every week they're doing something cool that sometimes revolves around higher shiny catch rates of cool things. It's really worth keeping up. I think I've got like 4 shiny Pokemons in the past 2 weeks. Like just from playing the game, it's totally worth it. They have these Team Rocket battles that you do. Like, do you guys know about the Team Rocket battles?
No.
They make you do these grunt battles, and sometimes they'll take over the Pokestops, and you'll clearly see like a little Team Rocket guy there. Okay. So then you'll battle them, and it'll be a 3v3 quick battle. And their Pokemon are actually very strong. They may only have something like a Zubat, but their Zubat will be like 4,000 CP, and your best guy is probably going to be like in the low 3,000s or mid 3,000s.
That's pretty cool. Like, give like an extra function to Pokestops like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then if you beat, and then afterwards, one of their 3 will become available to catch. So,
is it random or do you pick?
It's typically the worst one of the 3 they have. Although a couple of times I've gotten the best one that they have. Like, there was one where it was, I'm trying to think. It was like, what's the little form of Bisharp? I think it's
Poniard.
There was like a Poniard was one of them. Maybe it was like a coughing, and then it was a Houndoom, and I was like, oh shit, that Houndoom's for real. Ended up being the Houndoom is the one that came up for catch.
Hmm.
So got that was pretty sweet. Oh, and they're also corrupted. I think that's the term they use, that they're corrupted when you get them. So they have a special move, and
they have herpes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They get the herpes from the Team Rocket trainers. You don't know what they want to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then, so you sort of have this weird decision that you have to make where you can purify them, which sort of removes that, but then also changes their attack. So they don't have that cool attack anymore, but their stats are better. Or at least their bar is now more full. Or you can take one and then just jam as many candies as you can to max it out. But it takes hundreds of thousands of Stardust and hundreds of candies of that given Pokemon to do it. Like, so for example, I have like a regular Mewtwo, and then I have a corrupted Mewtwo. And the Mewtwo, the corrupted one, is the better one if I can max everything out on it. If I can just pump the candies and the Stardust to level up, it'll be way better than the one I have. But it's that trade-off, you know. And is it really worth it to anybody to do that? That's your discretion. But yeah, and then once you do the 6, you get a component from every time you battle one of the 6 grunts, and then they combine into this thing, and you fight the gym leaders. And it's like this. There's a woman named Sierra who looks like a total badass. There's this guy, Cliff, who looks like a roided-out jock asshole. And there's this guy, Arlo, who just looks like a nerd.
Hmm.
And then you beat all 3 of them, and then they get you a pass to fight Giovanni. Nice. And again, you get to catch one from every one of them. And your Giovanni fight will be a guaranteed legendary catch. So, again, if you add that all up, it's like 18 grunts you got to fight, 3 bosses, and then you get to Giovanni, who currently is rolling with a corrupted version of one of the legendary birds. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, every week they're doing new events, and a new Pokemon gets the quote-unquote spotlight, or they'll be doing new raid things. These remote raid passes, you have to get in on them. Don't feel like you need to be by a gym to do a raid pass. Like, I'm probably a half mile from downtown, but from Lake Eola, but I can see Lake Eola from where I am and use remote raid passes to go battle there. So the second Azernius came up, I had 15 people wanting to do a battle.
Cool.
So you keep that in mind. And you work at Universal, dude. So
I do.
Like,
he's always trying to sell this game to you.
I feel like you of all people, because you're just surrounded by Pokestops with tons of people that want to play.
Where's your weird bow tie and tweed jacket and knocking on his door with a briefcase? Sir, have you heard of Pokemon Go?
Have you heard the good news?
Have you heard the news? Well, that's a different dress. So that's there's a white T-shirt with a
that's black the tie. I think you're thinking of the Jehovah Witness, which is totally the.
I was thinking more of a salesman on the door-to-door salesman.
Yeah. Do people still do that?
Not in today's day and age.
No, they don't. I'm sad though, because I think that'd be funny. Be like, no, just slam it in their face.
So you're looking forward to being rude to people.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
They're rude to come into my house like that. I mean, come on.
But you want them to, so you can be rude back.
Yeah, exactly. That's the American way, man.
So yeah, it's...
I had a guy mad at me the other day because I wouldn't get close to him because he wasn't wearing a mask.
Were you at work?
Yeah. He was like, do you have any of this thing? And he showed me the phone and my glasses were off. So I turned to put my glasses back on and I turned back and I leaned. But I didn't walk any closer to him. And he goes, fucking ridiculous. And just storms off.
Really?
Because I want to get close to him. Like, you're not wearing a mask, douche rocket. Come on.
That's fucked up. Like, you go into other, like, a place where people are working where they have to wear a mask and you're not wearing one.
Yeah.
Show some fucking solidarity.
Yeah, people suck.
For your fucking fellow human beings.
Yeah, people suck. There's a lot of people that don't wear a mask now.
I don't want to go in on it, but did you see Brian Kilmeade attack that sixth grader?
I did not. No, YouTube keeps on recommending the clip to me. He's like, I don't want to see this person.
It is so cringe. I think he doesn't realize that he's just constantly in defend mode and when it comes to Trump and attack mode on anything Biden. So, like, it doesn't register to him that it's a sixth grader or whatever saying it.
Well, they're on the same level.
He's just assuming this kid's a pundit. He's just treating this kid like he's a Beltway insider. He's like, maybe you should go talk to the unions about it. And shit. Yeah, like I did. I'm sure when I was in sixth grade, I would talk to the teachers' union about what their policies were.
Actually, right, I wouldn't believe that about you.
Yeah. There's actually a great episode of The Simpsons where Bart gets the teachers' union and Principal Skinner fighting. It's so fucking funny. And he has this great line where he's like, oh yeah, Principal Skinner said that the teachers' union would fold faster than Superman on laundry day.
Nice.
What were we talking about?
Pokemon Go.
We were talking about Pokemon.
Oh, that was the other thing I want to bring up. Because you work at Universal, did you hear that there's like talk about them making like a Pokemon park? Like they're making a Pokemon expansion?
There's all sorts of rumors about what may or may not be happening there.
Well, I would
John say can't say it because he signed a confidentiality agreement.
If there were anything that involved us as a department, there would be confidentiality agreements that I would have to sign.
Yes. Say is he signed one or not.
All I hear is that we're in a simmer and we were approaching a rolling boil. So I am excited. I'm very excited. That's all I got for Pokemon Go, though.
Okay.
Yep. So tell me about the trading card game.
It's gotten so bad. It's gotten so bad.
I can't even buy these booster packs anymore. They just instantly sell out.
We only are allowed to sell them on Fridays. And at Friday morning at 8 a.m., there is 50 plus people waiting outside the store.
Yeah.
On Thursday at noon, people started lining up and camping out.
That's insane.
What is happening?
Fucking Pokemon cards.
What's happening? What's going on?
It's the new Bitcoin.
It's absolutely absurd. I hate every one of these people. I've reached a point with resellers. Collectors, they're annoying, but if I know they're legitimate collectors for their own stuff, it's fine. I'll help you out. No big deal. But resellers and these Pokemon card ass wipes have just hit the point where I will not treat them like human beings because they're not.
Wait, what happened to like set off this craze again?
They started putting, I don't know what triggered it. It was some card in some pack ended up going for a lot of money. And it caused just this refire of it. And then it just kept going and going with it. And so I don't know the full details of what triggered it. I just know I want it to be over. Because I hate dealing with this. Thursday nights, we unload these about 12 big white boxes full of miscellaneous trading cards, baseball, football, hockey, and Pokemon cards, and we unload them on a rolling cart and organize them, because on Friday morning at 8 a.m. there's a fucking line of them, just psychos. Like, we've had to send people home. Like, listen, it's noon on Thursday, you're not getting these till 8 a.m. Friday. Go the fuck home. Like, you cannot be here. We will call the police. Like, it's
how bizarre.
They were putting GPS trackers, because it used to be a vendor thing, so vendors would come and load the shelves. They started putting GPS trackers on the vendors' cars and following them from store to store to clean the store out after the vendor restocked it.
Wow. That doesn't seem like something they should be able to do.
No. But that's what they were fucking doing. These people were animals. They were sitting in the parking lot waiting for these things. they're psychotic.
So here's the thing that's going to happen. And I say this with 100% certainty, because this has happened before, not necessarily with Pokemon cards, both these sort of like collectible things where there's a perceived value, mm-hmm. because there are people who are willing to pay prices. So there's a perceived rarity. Like, one day these things will have value, so I better hoard them all while I can.
Well, the thing about these is that they immediately have value. They're buying something that they can flip. They're not keeping these with the idea that this is going to be a collector's item for 10 years from now. They're like, I want to buy it now and then sell it for
this
three
type
times.
Of thing needs to end. Because I told you about my friend that has that app where it's like trading cards, but they're just basketball clips.
Yeah.
NFTs, or is that what they're
called?
Those
are going for hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Like, this shit needs to stop. This is absurd.
There is a weird... Just to finish the thought, there's this sort of crazy going on, but there's going to come a point... Like, they have value now because they're being hoarded and flipped in a secondary market to people who just can't get them. What's going to happen is the Pokemon company, whatever card manufacturer they're working with, they are going to see, like, hey, there's this huge demand for this thing. Let's make more. And then you're going to have people who are reselling them, who are buying up all this stock, and they will get to a point where they can't unload it all because there's going to be too much, and the supply will outstrip the demand, and they're going to be stuck with these things. There may come a point where they say, like, okay, well, I better stop hoarding these. This is exactly the sort of thing that happened with comic books in the 90s. There are people buying these things up because of variant covers and new number one issues of things. But eventually the supply outstripped the demand. Like, the demand was artificial. The demand was being created because there are people who are buying these things up immediately and getting multiple copies of the same comic book in hopes that they would be able to flip it immediately or in the future.
Yeah. Well, I think there is one distinction to make, and that is kind of what Wes is talking about. There's the unknown. It's sort of like if you didn't know what cover you were going to get in the comic book before you opened it, it was sealed in a way that you couldn't figure out what cover it was. And then people are like, well, I need to get the rarest cover there is, so I'll buy a ton of them. Mm. And then just go through the process of unwrapping them to see if I get that dream card.
We do limit them. It's now at the point where you come in, you can pick one of the giant stack of different kinds, and that's it. Get the hell out of the store. Like, it's gotten to that point where we're limiting to that degree. Just, one, out principle, and two, because we need these people just to stop.
It's going to come crashing down.
I really hope so.
I can't tell you when, but I hope it's soon.
I don't want to deal with this shit anymore. These people are insane.
And like NFTs, like, all this stuff is imaginary. Because... money as well. Money is imaginary. Like, Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are just as imaginary as US dollars. It has value because we place it on it. The difference between, you know, things that we recognize as real currency, money, is that there's the power of a government behind it declaring it has value. Pokemon cards, comic books, NFTs, it only has perceived value that people place on it at the time.
When little Tommy comes in and goes, I want to buy a pack of Pokemon cards, I'm going to go, sorry, you have to wait till 8 o'clock on Friday and fight through the grown-ass men.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird.
I recently heard a term that I had never heard before called FOMO, which means fear of missing out.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that really does capture kind of the past, I don't know, 6 months to a year.
I have that with...
everything.
I have that with video games when it comes on sales on the Switch shop. I'm like, shit, this thing's half off right now, but I'm not going to play for like 5 months. So, I mean, do I buy it now because it's on sale? Like, shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, for that case specifically, I would tell you, if something goes on sale once, it will go on sale again.
Yeah. I've finally gotten better with that. Like, making use of my wish list. Like, I just can't.
Well, right now, even here in Orlando, it's like that with the real estate market.
Mm.
Like... you know, people want to buy income properties so bad that the market is just so insanely hot. And then you have to worry, like, is it going to be like that forever? Like, you know, you always want to sell at the high and buy at the low, of course. But the way it is, where everyone's just can't even keep inventory.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it doesn't seem like Pokemon has done that. Whoever's responsible for this rating card game has caught up with that logic, that they need to just go into mass press mode. because they clearly can't even produce enough supply to keep up with demand. Like, again, I would love to just be able to go online and buy a 36-pack booster box of just generic Pokemon cards, and I can't right now because they're just sold out. Everyone's buying everything as fast as they possibly fucking can. Online retailers can't even keep them in stock because my nephew loves the cards, and it's like, I'd love to just buy him some cards, not because he needs to have some, you know, draw some, you know, Charizard V or some special card that is going to be worth hundreds of dollars. I mean, granted, he likes that idea, but he loves, you know, opening the little loot. It's because essentially like little loot boxes. He loves opening these little packs. So I'd love to do it. But yeah, like you're saying, if it's totally been taken over by adults that don't give a fuck about Pokemon, that are just seeing this as a means to make a profit.
Yeah, these are their fucking jobs.
Yeah, they're buying them and flipping them.
Yeah, that's their job.
So people like me who want to buy cards for their nephews.
Yeah, I'm so sick of resellers.
Yeah.
Ugh, I need to get out of retail. So Pokemon Snap's a thing.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yes. Yeah, we'll save it for next month. I think this has been...
we tackled quite a bit here.
Came out a week ago.
Yeah, it came out a week ago. I was there. I wanted to be there at 8 a.m. at store open. And then I woke up and went, oh, wait a minute, it's Friday, 8 a.m. I'm not going anywhere near I'm not going anywhere near these assholes.
You're gonna have to fight through the hardcore Pokemon fans so you can get there and buy a game.
Yeah, exactly. So I went and actually bought the game.
They had to fight over the little pieces of paper.
I went there later and I got my game. We sold out that day though. The 35 copies we had, we sold out.
Nice.
In one day, which was made me really happy. It's great. I really like it. Let me get my book.
Yeah.
Because I did something I haven't done in years.
Wait, what is happening here?
You made notes.
Did you put pen on paper and make notes?
I have notes.
This is
no,
this
it's
is,
just bullet points. It's not like in-depth, 2-hour-long notes on music like Ryan does.
Don't ruin the impact of this moment. This is
I like that he used a pack of rainbow pens. It's really nice.
All colors at once too. It's a little confusing when the letters turn a bit. You're like they kind of blend into a blob, but.
This is a really special moment for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have if, a hard on? Like, I would calm down.
If I wasn't in a COVID vaccine haze right now, I'd be hard as a rock. This is really nice.
I mean, they're not bad. I mean, I've broken up in categories, too. So I wrote topics, and then I listed the topics, and then I broke down the topics with bullet points under said topics.
This is magical.
And then it's two pages. there's two pages.
Single spaced, even.
Yeah, we got a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So topics I'm going to be discussing.
I don't want this podcast to ever end now.
So we don't. Here's the thing, man. We don't make our notes with the idea that we're going to be doing a dissertation. We keep them as topics in our mind to fluidly discuss.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing here. That's what I'm doing here. I am going to list through them a bit.
Everyone turn your page. Turn your books to page 8.
John's like, don't ruin this moment.
Don't take this away from him. This is a miracle.
This is true. All right, listen. I didn't write this down like 10 minutes before I left coming over here, so it's not like it's anything crazy in depth here.
So what do we got?
But they're not like, your guys' notes have like full sentences and shit that you literally read.
I try not to. I organize my thoughts in complete sentences.
I usually don't have a subject. I just start with a verb and...
Just go?
It doesn't matter. This is about you, not me.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start here.
At the beginning.
So topics I'm going to be roughly discussing.
Okay, go.
I'm excited. Like a book report at school. I'm going to be discussing the courses a little bit, the overall structure of the game, how the online works a little bit, ratings and the tools. I'm already butchering this.
No, you're doing great.
Notes do me a disservice here.
Do we get to pick where you start, or is
sure
this...
you can pick whatever.
What were the topics again?
Courses, structure, online ratings, and tools.
Let's start with structure.
Structure.
Yeah.
So it's like any. It's like the first Pokemon Snap game. So they give you more of a actual story with it. Like, hey, we need to research this Lumia effect on these islands and blah 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 blah. It's like the Galar thing with the new Gigantamax shit. Like, it was just, oh my god, we have to research this new phenomenon. And so you're just going through different levels and just taking pictures of it. It hits you with a lot of tutorial in the beginning of the game, and it takes you a minute to get through it. I'm like, oh dear god, just let me take some pictures already. And it kind of... I know why it's doing it, but in between
Good runs. For children.
Yeah, it's good for children. It's good that they do the little thing. But in between runs, like, I'll get done with a run, and then he'll do the rating, and then if I unlock something new, he'll be like, here's something new I need to tell you about. And then, boom, here's another tutorial. And then I'll go back and do a thing, come back, he's like, here's something new to talk about. And they'll talk about it for a little bit, and then, boom, here's a tutorial. And so there was a lot of that in between every single round, pretty much whenever you unlocked a new thing, which was frequent. You're constantly unlocking shit in this game, whether it's another course or the Lumia Orb or whatever. But yeah, it's just, it's a Pokemon Snap game. You go out there, you're in your little, it's an on-rails Pokemon shooter, for crying out loud. Except instead of their heads blowing up, you're capturing them as they're eating fluff fruit and being adorable. Like, it's, yeah.
Fluff fruit.
Yeah, it's fluff fruit. In the original Pokemon Snap, it was an apple.
There were frozen apples.
Essentially.
What was like, Apple gonna sue them or something? Was there, like, a...
They did a few things here to kind of tone down the violence, I think. That's my impression, because...
Yeah, I think, like, the general, because they don't have, like, the irritants anymore. Like, it was, like, a smoke bomb in the original or something.
It was a smoke bomb. And you throw it and blow up, and they'll get irritated or knock them over or whatever. And this one is the Lumia Orb, which pretty much just makes them start glowing. So
tear gas and napalm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're irradiating these creatures in their natural habitats.
And the apple looked like it legitimately hurt. Like, you would throw it at them and beat them with a piece of fruit.
Yeah.
But in this one, they literally state, it doesn't hurt them. It's so soft and sweet. It just gets their attention, and you're like, God damn, I want to ping somebody in the face with a freaking app fruit.
I think it's like part of the branding at this point. It's like, you're not actually hurting these animals that you're engaging in blood sport with.
Well, because it resembles a Honeycrisp, which, by the way, is the best apple. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. The Honeycrisp is the best apple.
A lot of people keep telling me it's like the sweet and delicious, but every single time I have it, it's like, there's like no flavor.
No, like, you gotta get a Honeycrisp. It's got that, one, the sweetness, the tartness, and that crunch.
Yeah, you need just a feels crunch. Very apple. That's very, very important for an apple, to hear that.
Yeah, right. Sound. You know, if you get a Red Delicious, you're wasting your time. Just end your life at that point. I understand that the Honeycrisp costs a little more, but it's worth every cent.
Man.
I like Granny Smith.
Poser. You, charlatan.
You know what? I also like Macintosh.
Oh, calm down. You probably eat a Fuji apple every once in a while, too.
Fuji apples are good for baking.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing wrong with a Honeycrisp either.
Yeah.
Gold Delicious I find just vile. Like, they're always sandy.
Yeah. What's your take on green apple?
I like green apples.
Granny Smith?
I think it's just so absurd, you gotta give it a go. I think it's like, alright, it's fine. You wanna be green, have at it.
Yeah.
They're very sweet.
Yeah.
It's like candy.
What are we talking about? A green apple, the flavoring? Like for candy?
Or the concept?
Oh, no.
The actual green apples.
Hey, Granny Smith, yeah.
Solid apple in my mind, but yeah. You know, there is definitely a hierarchy of apples.
Okay.
Now, what do you put on your apples? Is it just peanut butter, or you just eat it straight?
I just eat it straight. I literally used to every day eat one in the morning.
He eats it gay. Don't let him lie to you.
Yeah. Oh, so as first.
First, I actually hollow out the core and then eat the core in front of it just so it knows I'm a tough motherfucker. And then I eat the rest of the apple.
You know, prove your masculinity to an apple.
These people who eat the cores, how do you eat that thing? It's hard as a rock.
They're horses. They don't give a shit.
And this game is fluff fruit.
Yeah, right.
It sounds wonderful. But I guess we'll slip into tools.
Yeah.
So you have your fluff fruit, which is your little apple. You can use them to lure them around or get their attention. A lot of different poses and shots you'll get because of that fluff fruit. That's going to be the one thing you use the most, just chucking these apples.
I think you should always be playing the song. Never stop playing the song.
The song is another tool. I've only found use for it in one place. And it's the freaking Blossoms on the beach scene. I'm playing that thing everywhere and it's doing shit. Am I doing it wrong? Am I pressing the button wrong? I don't understand. It's just not doing anything. It's a nice little tune.
Maybe it scares off Pokemon.
It may. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. You have your Lumia Orb, which is the new thing. Instead of the tear gas ball, you have the Lumia Orb, which...
lights them up, too, which is pretty cool.
Just lights them up, and if they're doing anything like with fire or something else, it'll change the color of that. It's interesting.
Oh, that's interesting. So is that like a Ponyta or something?
Like, there's one part where you see a, God, what is the...
You see
Squirrel
God.
Bunny. You see Squirrel Bunny. Mm. And he's, like, kicking, and flames coming out of his foot. So if you hit him with a Lumi Orb, the flame's now blue.
Hmm.
You know, dumb shit like that.
Yeah.
But it's annoying because the way it works is there's these little crystal flower things around, and you have to play through the map a few times and upgrade its level and stuff. And then you, the Professor Mirror, weird name, tells you to get a picture of one of these flowers.
Like from a camera.
Yeah. After one of your runs. And then after that, boom, you have the Lumia Orb, but now you can use it on that island. And you have to do that on every single island. That island has its own Lumia Orb.
Hmm.
So you have to slowly unlock it on every single island. So you're not just starting with it.
Sounds okay. Like it would have been nice for them to have just like a, do you need tutorials, yes or no, and then just kind of let you start with all of the mechanics.
Yeah.
Even if it still means that you have to like go through the same map a couple of times to really kind of get momentum on new things happening,
mm-hmm.
probably would still be better to just kind of have it all on hand.
Yeah.
The other that's thing, picking nits.
Maybe there's a new game plus.
Yeah. That'd be interesting. The other thing is the scanner. So the scanner is mostly used for finding hidden things, which give you clues against some hidden Pokemon you could find. Or if there's like a deviation in the course, you can switch to change path. There's only been a couple of those so far. The other thing is some Pokemon will perk up and turn and smile at you if you pop it. It's kind of like the Professor Mirror called it the Say Cheese button. So some of them will be get their attention and they'll turn and
mug for the camera.
Smile at, yeah, it's stupid. But that's the other use for the scanner. A lot of times it pops up and it's like, oh, these, where did these fruit come from? And then you just throw a fruit over there and then boom, here's the Emolga. Like, it's all right. Like, they're little hints about ways to get unique
shots. They have all the different regional variants of Pikachu? Do they have like Pachirisu and Dedenne? And
I've just seen Emolga.
Okay.
And Pikachu and Pichu. And then there was the Alolan Raichu.
Well, I got the Gen 5 one in there. That's the important thing.
Mm-hmm. So that's in there. And that's pretty much all the tools so far that I've unlocked. Pokemon Snap 64 had this really cool mechanic that I hope I unlock later on where you just speed up your car. Which was great because that means that there's a guy further up in, on the road that's closer to your main path that would usually move by the time you get up there. You can now speed up and get in its face quicker to get a better shot.
Now, that would also be handy as like you're trying to fill out your photo album. You're like, okay, I want to get a better shot of this particular Pokemon. I know it's on this course. So let me just speed up to where it is.
Exactly.
So yeah. If you're being a completionist.
Because there's a couple of shots, like in the desert area, there's the sand dune you gotta go over, and it takes a minute, and there's literally nothing to shoot while you're on the sand dune.
Mm.
So you can just speed through the dune. That would be nice. Just little things like that. The courses are really cool. I like the courses a lot. There's a lot of them, opposed to the original Pokemon Snap, obviously, because that was an N64 game.
Is there a name for the islands you're on? Or they give
yeah, they have different horses, different names and things. I'm not paying attention to them. I don't care.
I think it's the Lentil region.
Oh, yeah. That's the name of the region, the Lentil, but the islands have their own different separate names and shit, and I don't care.
Okay.
But so far, a lot of the different things will have alternate courses for each one. So on the main island, there's the regular park, and then you got it during the day and night. And then on that first island, there's an Illumia event where there's a big-ass Meganium, and you're just following it around for that whole course. Hmm. And it's glowing all special and everything like that. It's after you get first few shots, you're like, I don't care. I want to get done with this.
Well, yeah, the universally popular Meganium.
Yeah. I mean, Eevee showed up later on a different run with it. But that's the other really cool thing I really like about this. Each of the individual courses, even the day, the night, all of them have their own individual level. And as you get shots and rank points through those shots, you're leveling up. And when you level up, the course changes a little bit. Some Pokemon will show up that weren't there before, or the course will slightly change in deviation. You'll unlock other things. So the courses are constantly changing.
Yeah, that is cool. It gives you like incentive to replay and see what all has changed. Will it tell you like when you've kind of reached its maximum potential?
Yeah, so far I maxed level on one of the courses. I can't remember which one, but I did max level on that. It was one of the first ones. But a lot of the other ones I've hit like level 3 and they're still going. So I don't know what their cap is going to be. And a couple of them are pretty long. So I would think they're going to have a few more levels than some of the other ones. But it's really cool. I really like seeing how the course is going to change, figuring out what is going to be different. It would be nice to be able to switch back to different level versions to get different kinds of shots that I may have missed, because now I can't go back and get this kind of shot because the course changed.
Oh, interesting.
So it would be cool to do that, just so I can get more of these different shots that I may have missed.
Does it lock you out of things? Like, was something like in a previous, like an inferior level that doesn't show up again anymore?
No, it's usually like Pokemon positioning and stuff, and or some Pokemon will be added. Like, you just simply won't see this one here. You'd be further down. Or one of the higher levels on the park level, Dodrio's in different positions in different areas than it was before. But at a lower level, he's right here, and now I've unlocked these other things I can do to it. Like throwing the Lumia Orb and shit like that. And I don't have quite as good as an angle on him because he's over there now. You know, things like that. It would just be cool to go back at other lower level ones to get different kinds of shots. But as you're leveling up, the Pokemon are there more frequently. They are doing different patterns. There's more secrets to unlock. And it's really cool with that. It's tough to figure out some of the secrets. They're actually kind of a head-scratcher. The latest one was on this mountain area that I was, where there's these big leaf piles. And the scanner tells you, oh, something's in here. But I haven't figured out how to get the Pokemon out of it. And something like maybe it's a power-up that's still coming up, or I have to do something different with these guys. Yeah, I tried. There's an Infestant there. I'm like, if I hit him with an apple, maybe he'll get pissed and blow away the leaves. It's a
fluff fruit.
Fluff fruit.
He won't love feeling it.
If I hit him with the fluff, if I fluff him, then maybe he'll blow the leaves around. I don't know. Just shit like that. I haven't seen too many crazy shit like in N64 in my memory. It's like the Magikarp on the rock that you hit off with the tear gas bomb to knock him into the waterfall, and boom, here's a Gyarados. I haven't seen anything like, oh shit, I was not expecting that. I haven't seen anything like that yet. The closest thing to that would be on the desert level. There's these tornadoes, and I hit a Lumia Orb on this crystal or something. I can't remember what I did, but the tornado dispersed, and then there was a fucking Tyranitar there. I was not expecting that. So that was the closest thing I've gotten to like an oh shit moment. But there isn't like a lot of that. I see that there's a lot of that. I just haven't figured out how to do a lot of that. It's a little bit more of a head scratcher, which is nice because you have to figure that out.
There's one of the cooler features about the original is how you going through and interacting with the Pokemon in different ways will cause different ones to appear.
Yes. Like the example I always use is Charmeleon on the volcano level in the first one, where you hit him with a tear gas bomb and he goes into the lava pit, and then boom, here's Charizard. Or the just throwing the tear gas bomb at the waterfall, and then boom, a Dragonite pops out. Just shit like that. I just want to see more of that, but I haven't quite figured them out yet. I guess I'm stupid. I don't know.
In due time.
In due time.
That's probably what it is, too, is that they want to make these levels replayable 3, 4, 5, however many times. So they probably do keep these kind of like barriers up. So every time you run it, there's something new to interact with and something new to do.
And that's great.
But that's probably kind of, I'm sure it can be a little frustrating when you're like, I just want to make all of it happen all at once. But yeah, you got to be a little patient.
Yeah. There's an online rating, kind of like Mario Builder, where people will post their own photos and you can see them and you can rate them. Not necessarily rate them, like you can give them like a thumbs up and they get a little star thing. I don't fucking know. But it brings out a jealousy in me. Like, I want to be number one in this. Like,
you're getting competitive about your Pokemon Snap photos?
I looked at, like, 1 through 5 in the rankings. My photos are way better than their shit. Like, come on.
That's sort of like the ranking system is, like, self-perpetuating. Because then you have people that, like, go through and look at the top rankings and then maybe give them a thumbs up as they're looking at them. So it just kind of keeps them in that position.
Yeah.
Well, also, you probably have a lot of people that are, like, streamers online or something that are like, you know, giving out their codes so people could go like their photos or shit.
Yeah. I want to be number one.
In Mario Maker, one of the things that, you know, made me feel competitive about it is the top rank levels were always either like an auto runner, like these Rube Goldberg machines, and then they like played a little tune, like they played music, and some of them like were pretty intricate and impressive in their own right, but they're not really platforming levels.
Yeah,
they're a guy made a working calculator in a Mario Maker level. That's impressive that you're able to be imaginative enough to pull that sort of thing off. And it's not a Mario level.
You know what my thing became? Anytime anyone did like blank dash blank, as though they were building a level, like building a series of levels, I was like, oh, this is great. And then I would just, sometimes you would like see that they made a complete series of levels that are meant to play like one for Mario, or sometimes they would just be one-off ideas and they thought it was cute to put it there. But what you would get is what typically feels like just an overly designed, awesome Mario level. And you would see them kind of throwing out all the neat little tricks they could to design the levels, not only with the mechanics, but just like the way that they looked, really making them look pretty. And not just like show. When someone puts that in the title, it almost seems like they're saying, I'm trying to pretend I'm Nintendo and I'm making a level that looks just like a Mario game would look.
Yeah.
So those are the ones I would always like and reward.
And they did eventually in Mario Maker 2 add in a feature to where you could string levels together in an order as if like, and like allow people to play through all your levels in succession like that, which is great.
I kind of want to go back and play some of the puzzly ones that I made.
Yeah,
they were so much fun.
Mario Maker 2, I definitely came and went isn't the right way to put it, but sort of that sentiment of kind of like got, like didn't have the same sort of lasting power as Mario Maker 1. And part of that is just because of the platform it was on. When Mario Maker came out on Wii U, it was like a pinnacle game for the system and like nothing else. High Profile came out for like 6 months. So it had that time to where like, hey, this is the thing that everyone's engaging in.
Well, it's also perfect for the screen that you have.
Right.
And Switch, it's not quite the same.
It doesn't feel quite the same. It's not as easy to build and then switch back and test as it was on Wii U. And like it came out on Switch, Mario Maker 2, at a time where there's always tons of Switch games coming out. So it never really had the time to be like, okay, everyone is going to be focused on this and building this really large community where everyone's participating. Like, I played it for a couple of months and I was like, okay, well now I got to move over to Octopath Traveler and Valkyrie Profile. And
yeah.
Anyway, Pokemon Snap.
Pokemon Snap.
You're competitive.
I'm competitive. I want to be the best. Mm-hmm.
The very best, even?
I almost posted Ryan's photo that he edited, even. I was really tempted, because I think it was just fun.
Yeah, with the glasses and everything.
Yeah,
so because you can edit your photos.
Yeah, you can edit the photos. You can put stickers on them. There's even like a resnap you can do, where you can rechange the cropping and the sizing and the brightness and contrast and everything like you could in like your, like in a photo editor in real life. Which is cool. And then you have all your stickers and your frames and shit that I don't care about. But Ryan had fun with it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. The kind of thing made for Ryan.
Yeah.
I think you just hand him my Switch and be like, there you go, have fun.
I really did enjoy that. I think that's kind of fun messing around with that stuff. And like, you know, taking... Because again, it's Pokemon Snap. The end result isn't seeing a bunch of Pokemon. The end result is pictures.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have to have pictures to have the game. To be super reductive. I feel like I just said the most dumb, obvious thing. But there it is.
But it's cool. You get to select some of your photos to post on there. And like you're in the rankings when the professor goes and ranks them now and then. Now and then he'll, if you scored really high on one or it's a unique one, it'll become like professor's favorite.
Oh.
And that one shows up on the side.
You get to go to the top of the class.
Yeah. The Professor Mirror. Yeah. All right.
It's the big old pair of Tauros balls with a smiley underneath it or something.
When does Oak show up?
Where's Oak? But the guy in the first Pokemon Snap game showed up. What's his name? Todd?
I'll take your word for it.
Sure. I think this is his name. The whoever that was in the first Pokemon Snap, he's there.
Hmm.
And he'll pop up. Like, you'll get a certain shot in the middle of the thing and little speech bar will pop up and you hear like a little sound. I forget what it is. Like, yeah, you did it. That was a good shot.
You're like, get the fuck out of here, Todd.
How are you getting those pictures? Wow. You captured the moment. fuck off. Like,
what do you think? Something that was interesting to me, like, the first thing that struck me when I played through a level, when you brought it by, was that you have a limited number of pictures you can take.
Yes.
As if you're, like, shooting on film or a really tiny SD card.
It's like 70-some. Like, I haven't come close to filling that.
Right, like, there's plenty for, like, to actually, like, work your way through the level. But unless you're, like, snapping pictures, like, over and over again and not stopping, you're probably not going to run out. It's just interesting to me that they put a cap on it. Like, no, you get 70, no more.
Meh.
It doesn't really affect anything.
It really doesn't. I mean, if you're snapping more than 70 in a run, like, dear God, man. How many times can you get the exact same photo? I mean, yes, I get it. The squirrel would be spinning around, their tornado being thrown across the room is hilarious, but still, like, how many times do you need that shot?
Well, there probably are going to be a lot of kids playing the game, and they're probably just going to be like,
trigger happy.
Yeah. Snapping those photos over and over.
It looked like Mika had fun when she was playing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough to figure out what she's going to latch onto, though. Because, yeah, like, I've gotten her a few games, and, you know, she'll play him for a little while and then just kind of move on and never go back to him. Ripley's a little bit better about, like, going through games and, okay, I want to play Yoshi again. I want to play Kirby or Captain Toad. Treasure Tracker.
Treasure Tracker. Last thing I'll touch up real quick is the ratings, which is pretty cool. Because in the past, they'll just give you these numbers and you're like, whatever. Which they still do. Here's these numbers and you're like, whatever. But it does an interesting thing where the poses will determine its star, how many stars it gets. So there's 1 through 4, and 1 being it's just sitting there doing nothing. 2 being you hit him with a fluffer, now he's eating it. 3's pissed. 4, he's
fucking
murdering something. Yeah. I don't freaking know. So based on the type of
he's asking to speak to the manager. Exactly.
Why won't you look at my phone? Get closer.
So there's different poses, and then they have numbers with it based on, like, direction the Pokemon's looking, the size in the frame, if it's centered, if there's other Pokemon in the frame.
So centered, huh?
Yeah, centered.
They don't use the rule of thirds?
No. Which I do. I was a photographer for years.
As you should.
So I want to use the rule of thirds in all these photos, but, like, it's not centered, so it's going to hurt my score.
It doesn't appreciate the use of negative space.
Dumb fucks. Like, it makes me sad.
How pedestrian.
But then they get ratings, and then let's say you get a 2-star, but you get a high score. Those stars may rate into diamonds.
Yeah, it's interesting because the rating system isn't like you think. Like, hey, I got a 4-star. That means this one really good.
It just means you have a good pose.
It means you got a different pose from the ones that you had before.
It's usually like a rare pose. Mm. Like, you had to do something. You had to interact him in some way in order to do something that's not
normal. Yeah, it required more effort. Yeah. But then, like, there's also a system of, like, how well you photograph the thing that you did.
Yeah, and that determines, like, the quality of the star. Mm. So there's, like, bronze, silver, gold, and diamond. Yeah, it's there's a lot of little things. There's just those 2 ratings for your photos, but it'll save it'll save a photo of each of the star ratings. So you want to complete all 4. So you want to get a shot of all 4 different poses of the 4 different star ratings.
And yeah, you got your checklist
to complete your little album. So it makes you a little bit of a completionist.
And you can print them out.
I got to figure out how to do that. You said there was a printer.
I was actually going to bring it up. It came out today. Fujifilm released their in-stack printer. And it's not just for Pokemon. The idea behind this is that it's going to work with any smartphone. So I would assume any picture you have on a smartphone.
Oh, they've had that.
You could print these out.
They've had that.
This one is specifically designed to work with Pokemon Snap.
Oof.
How that all goes down, I don't know exactly. I didn't look into it. Seems like there's a video here you could watch on a tutorial on how to make it happen.
Yeah, that's like $100 I just threw down the drain because I won't be able to resist.
Yeah. Actually, it's 109 euro, so that translates to about $123. Yeah.
Fuck.
It's a bit much.
It looks like a little pull. And then you got paid by the film, too.
There is a hand here, so it looks like the pictures aren't going to be any more than a couple inches by a couple inches. Very, very small. Probably not even as big as what you would think.
Target did give me a magnetic frame for Pokemon Snap, so now I have to find a photo to put in there. Maybe my Happy Pincer photo, because that one just makes me happy.
Well, you know, then you also have to get like a bunch of photos so you can put them all up your wall and connect the string and
Right, plan some kind of murder mystery thing that's going on. Mm-hmm. I really want to do that because I think that that's the decoration of my wall. Like, Wes, what is this? Like, don't worry about it. I'll find that Chansey, a little psychopath.
Anything else about
what was that Always Sunny?
Pepe Sylvia.
Pepe Sylvia. It keeps going back to Pepe Sylvia.
Anything else about Pokemon Snap that we need, new Pokemon Snap that we need to get to here?
It's great. I recommend it for, it's just a chill time killer if you just want to do something just mellow.
Highly recommended.
I recommend this. It's my childhood all wrapped up in a loving bundle. It's great. Pokemon Snap, the original one, was why I became a photographer for years, because I enjoyed taking photos so much.
Nice.
And holding like a regular old film camera with a crank that you had to turn with your thumb. Like, I loved that. And I did photography for years, all because of this fucking game.
And now this one's even better because it has a Wooper.
And this one's great. Yeah, it has a Wooper in there. And there's one shot Wooper. There's an Arbok, like, trying to eat
Oh, no.
You hit the Arbok with the fluff fruit and it runs off.
Yeah,
and
better.
And that Wooper shows up and he's all happy. And
yeah, you gotta save that Wooper every time.
Yeah, save the Woopers.
Well, I mean, or kill an Arbok and its family.
Totally worth it.
It was save those Woopers. It didn't, you know, it wasn't eating that thing for fun. It was eating it to sustain its own existence.
Do we need Arboks?
As much as we need Woopers. Yeah.
So that the world needs it. No, we have a world of Wooper. And if Arbok is like the Wooper predator, then I'd say we just exterminate Arboks.
Yeah. I was just wondering if we thought about what it's going to be like, given their production schedule, when you're 50 and they make the next one. You ready for that?
And you know, y'all ready for this?
I'll play 2 and 50. I don't care.
But, you know, this game also... It does seem like it has some good potential for DLC, like some expanded content. Like,
oh, yeah, definitely. They just add to the islands, or here's another new island, or...
New courses.
No, I know. I think you wait a solid 20 years, and then you make another one.
I haven't seen any repeat Pokemon on islands, on different islands. Pretty much, you'll find some in different courses, like Day and Night, obviously, but on, like, entirely different islands. Just different Pokemon, which is great. You're getting a lot of different kinds.
From what I've read... In brief about this game is that there's like 215 thereabouts total Pokemon.
I was looking up the Pokedex list earlier. That sounds about right.
And which, I mean, there's still a lot on the bench they can pull from if they decide to do some expanded content where there's, you know, adding more Pokemon to existing courses.
I just want to see a Kingler at some point. I'll be ecstatic.
Kingler's pretty delightful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah. So that's a game that exists, came out.
Go buy it.
What are you waiting for?
It's a Pokemon on-rail shooter. If you like House of the Dead, you're going to love this.
I do like House of the Dead. But I think... you guys got anything else? I think I'm getting near the end here.
I think we're pretty good. You can go to bed now. Because you look like you're about to pass out.
No, I'm just kind of a little foggy. Otherwise, good. My legs are kind of like noodles too. It's a weird feeling.
Are you sure you got the COVID vaccine, or are you just hot?
They might have just whipped it or something.
Like, what are you doing?
Go down to the local Walgreens and get some black tar heroin injected. They didn't charge me anything either. It was great. So next up is going to be the mini show. And I got a bunch of games that we can get to. We'll talk about whatever we damn well please. I'm gonna have the retro show. Again, which I'm looking forward to. There's going to be a couple of N64 games, and I think even a Game Boy game. Really? So, you know, we'll have some video games to talk about as well.
What
about
an interesting movie?
Perfect Dark, for one.
Cool.
That's the high-profile one.
Man, we got into so many fights over that game.
Well, you guys did.
We did.
Because, I guess we can do more details when the show comes around. Because from what I remember of that game, it was a lot of... James, my older brother, and someone else, I don't remember who, versus, you know, you and Jeremy or you and Jeff or somebody, and they would just, like, go into that one room, like, at the top of a stage and put, like, a sentry gun at the entrance and just shoot with their I think they were called Farsights. And just, like, be snipers. And you couldn't get to them because of the sentry gun. And you just basically like running around waiting to die. Yeah. And as I'm watching, that's what it looked like anyway.
Yep.
And as I'm watching, I was like, how is this fun? Like, it's fun for them. It's not so much for you guys who didn't get to the room fast enough.
So it's camping. Essentially, they were just camping.
Yeah, those Farsights were... They got bad, those Farsights. But Jeremy was the one with the Farsight. He loved that thing.
Mm. Yeah, he would. Just be able to play the coward's game.
Yeah, I purposely avoided it.
No, the only
we'll way discuss it more on the main show.
Yeah, the only way I would ever play those competitive GoldenEye or Perfect Dark campaigns with you guys is if it was like slappers only or maybe throwing knives. That wasn't my style.
Yeah, throwing knives were fun, dude. That was great.
But then we'll wrap it all up with the official show at the end of the month. We'll have some new stuff to talk about. What do you guys want to do for the next Pokemon show? That's the most important thing.
More Pokemon Snap.
Do another half hour on Pokemon Snap?
Yeah, I'll tell you.
I'll probably be done at that point with my run through of Platinum.
Okay.
So that'll be some kind of content, but that's not going to be enough to fill a whole episode.
I think that... it's where we're talking about Gen 4, because we do have those Gen 4 remakes coming at some point this year.
Oh,
we do a go. I could put together a quiz game, just all Gen 4 stuff.
I'm on board.
Sure. Cool.
Start brushing up on Gen 4 then.
Well, that's not good. You just play through Platinum.
Well, we've got to keep it, like, apropos of something here.
I'm going to get fucked.
I'll just send you the questions beforehand.
And maybe I'm the one that should do the quiz then, because I'll be the one that does have all of the information on it.
That's fine. You're still equally fucked, Wes. But yeah. I'm totally fine with that.
Not the good kind.
No, the bad kind.
the bad kind of fucked.
So yeah.
You have to buy me dinner first before we do this.
I will not. We'll make tacos. But that's it. That's the end. Till next time.
So long.
Bye-bye.